Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and making our way through this beautiful season of the church year, especially this part. We just celebrated last Sunday the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his humanity, entering into the fullness of the glory of heaven, he's now the new Adam who is siring a new race of people through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What's being offered to the world through the church is not just kind of religious comfort or like pious ritual habits that are helpful, good spiritual disciplines, whatever. I mean, those things are part of it. But the essence of what it means to be Catholic, what it means to be Christian, and what separates Christianity from every religion, and just at completely different than every other religion, is that at the heart of it is what we're celebrating in these weeks. Jesus was a historical person, the God-man, Mary's son, took on human flesh to become one of us. He went to war for us. And this is the issue that no other religion in the world can solve, the problem that Jesus solved on the cross for our sake. The sin problem that produces the death problem for the human race. Death comes through sin. All men sin, therefore all men die. Spiritual death, eternal separation from God. Jesus came to deal with that problem and the source of the problem, the dominions of the devil and the fallen world, the unruly fallen flesh. So he came to make it possible for us, first of all, to have our sins forgiven, and they're washed away by the blood of the Lamb who died on the cross. You know, I love the mysteries of the Rosary, the sorrowful mysteries in particular. Just remembering what Jesus went through on our behalf. He's in the garden. He's sweating blood. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass. But love continues to move him. Obedience to the Father. And that's not a slavish obedience. I've talked about many times in the program. That is just abandonment of his whole heart, soul, and mind. His will, his yes to the Father. Father, in essence, you know, Father, this is difficult. This is hard. This is scary. Your will is my life. Your will is my safety. Your will is my good. And so Jesus, in the love language of heaven, obeys the Father on our behalf. And then he's scourged at the pillar. I can't help thinking about Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, and just the gruesome reality of what Jesus underwent. And by his stripes, we were healed. Jesus is there out of obedience to the Father and out of love for you and for me, all of it to make it possible to come into what we're celebrating this week. Again, ultimately, they took a crown of thorns and they pressed it down into his head, and he's bleeding. They're mocking him. That's the world, the mockery of the world. The actual king is here, the true king, and all kinds of kings on the earth are being crowned, right? Even right there in Israel. And people are afraid of those kings, and people serve those kings and whatever they want to do. And then here the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is right before them. And it's not yet fully revealed, and they don't see it. But it's the demonic mockery and resistance of the world that's pressing and ridiculing him and spitting on him. And then on the cross, there on the cross, with his arms spread, nailed to wood, pierced, bleeding, offering himself to the Father. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. The forgiveness at the center of the offering of Jesus. The love in his heart, the mercy and compassion. He knows he's coming to save us, and he's breaking the power of the kingdom of the enemy that's pressing down on human beings. And the claim that Satan has over human souls, because we've connived with the devil and said yes, Jesus breaks that dominion of power. And then the Father raises him. The Holy Spirit raises him. And the glory begins. And the Father's plan is to enthrone the one true King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, his beloved Son. He will rule over a kingdom that will never end. And it's an entirely unique kingdom. It's a new heaven and a new earth over which he reigns. And it's a full participation in the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Absolute holiness, freedom, love, joy beyond our wildest imagining. And it's made possible because of the God-man, because of his yes, because he's living in the will of the Father, because he's established a kingdom of love that's rightly ordered in relationship to the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that existed from all eternity and from which all things have come. And he's raised up to glory, as we said yesterday. And we're celebrating that reality as we move now toward the day of Pentecost, because Jesus is taking his seat at the right hand of the Father. And the Father enthrones him, crowns him. That means all authority in heaven and earth is his. And then we'll see on the day of Pentecost, the Father gives over to the Son the promise. Remember, Jesus said in Luke's gospel, he told the apostles to wait in the upper room. He will clothe them with power. He will send the promise of the Father. And what is the promise of the Father that was promised throughout even the life of the Jewish people, especially through the prophets, of the Father's plan to give us new heart, give us a renewed mind and a new heart. A new heart, really, at the core of our being, is this gift of presence and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus now possesses, what he united in himself in his human flesh, the beginning of his ministry, they didn't see it then, but you get a glimpse of what's the Father's plan. Here's God's prophet. They're seeing Jesus as a prophet and the like, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he keeps announcing it. He announces that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and there's a recognition of the presence of the Spirit. And we see that's the future of the human race, the only future that's worth living in eternal. It's eternal life. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit, not just coming to send a message to the human person, but to come to dwell in us. And it began, the indwelling presence of the Spirit on Jesus, in Jesus, in his ministry, and he went forward and he spoke truth. He brought healing, forgiveness he brought. He described the life of the kingdom. He called people to it, called them to be baptized, to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All of that is guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church reminds us that we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ because we're animated by the Spirit. We've become children of God. And that same Spirit sends us on mission, like we're seeing each day in the readings from the Acts of the Apostles. The Spirit is, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are on mission to bring salvation to everyone. The whole work of Jesus, the whole sending, began in the heart of a loving Father who wants to save, who wants to save those who bear his image, to bring us as a loving Father into his kingdom. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but have everlasting life. And what we need to see in what the apostles preached so clearly, Paul did it today, a story, beautiful story of his last days in Ephesus. I'll just read a little bit. He's gathered with the elders that he knew and he was saying goodbye to. He says, when they came to him, he addressed them, "You know how I lived among you the whole time from the day I first came to the province of Asia. I served the Lord with all humility." He's speaking the truth there, so that's not pride. "I served the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews, and I did not at all shrink from telling you what was for your benefit or from teaching you in public or in your homes. I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." That's really a one line there summarizes what the core mission of the church is, to call people to repentance before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Repentance and faith. But now he says, compelled by the Spirit. See what I mean? Paul's completely aware that his awakening to the reality of who Jesus is, the commissioning that he received from that revelation on the road to Damascus, and the life of ministry, he knows his preaching was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Just as the catechism we read last week, that the Holy Spirit is Jesus' anointing. And that same anointing is given to those who repent and believe and are baptized and come in. So we're anointed. Paul was anointed. So Paul said he was compelled. So you see, the Holy Spirit has come not only just to purify us, to make us born again, but to get us moving, as St. John Paul II said, to get us to tell the truth, but tell the story of who Jesus is, the good news of God and what's been revealed. And at the heart of it is Christ died for us. He died for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. That's a simple, simple presentation of what he's done. What will happen to me, therefore, I do not know, except that in one city after another, the Holy Spirit has been warning me that imprisonment and hardships await me. So Paul came to experience the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, gave him promptings in his heart, gave him signs, worked through him, and Paul was attentive. Friends, this is what it means to be Christian. Not the indwelling presence, but we're living in a relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us know and see and receive the love of the Father and understand and have real faith conviction and have our hearts and minds healed enough that we can literally walk in the freedom of the children of God, knowing that the Spirit cries in us, Abba, Father. And then it's the Holy Spirit who leads us to have great confidence and faith, conviction, and hope in the Lordship and majesty of Jesus and declare, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord. He's our Lord, and he's my Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, to bring us into living relationship with the King. Yet I consider life of no importance to me, Paul says, even though I was imprisoned and filled with hardships. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. Gospel means good news, the good news of God's grace, which is what? The gift of salvation given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, the offer of the forgiveness of our sins and new life. He says, but now I know that none of you to whom I preached the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again. And so I solemnly declare to you this day that I'm not responsible for the blood of any of you, and I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. Paul preached the kingdom, and he communicated the plan of God. The church has reminded us, every one of us are apostles, small a, sent by the Lord to communicate to our friends, to our family, and to live it out, the reality of the kingdom and God's plan of salvation. And it's the Spirit of God who anoints us to do it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.